Chapter 4. The heat from the thermal caves was nearly blistering when Gavlane and I finally made our way into the bowels of Monger Manor.
"No insult meant by this," the Ramlord started as we edged around the boiling pools of water. "But if you really keep this place, I have some suggestions to make it less creepy."
"Trust me, I'm all ears," I replied. "Is it just me, or weren't these pools a lot less boil the flesh off your bones the last time we were here for the tithing ceremony?"
"You are correct,"
Mech frowned, as he paused and gazed around the cavernous chamber.
"This is worrying. It's like there is something causing the natural springs under the mountain to overheat. This could spell disaster."
"Really?" I asked. "How?"
"Monger Manor sits on top of a thermal vent that is essentially Nata Isle's most volatile volcano," he replied, like Bill Nye the fucking doom science guy.
"Ah," I said. "So are we safe, or—"
"No, absolutely not,"
he said with another mild smile and wiped the sweat off his brow.
"We need to figure out what's making the mountain overheat, or it could blow."
"Super," I remarked.
"Let's try the tunnels to at least get out of this heat,"
the Ramlord suggested, and gestured to one of the dark tunnels toward the back. "I'm game," I said as I tugged at the collar of my tunic. We both hurried into the narrow tunnels that connected to the main chamber, and I gasped in relief at the cool air buffeting my sweaty and scorched face.
"Siskern was right,"
Mech murmured, after he plucked a long brown hair from his head and watched it blow in some mysterious draft.
"There has to be another passage hidden here."
"Isn't this the way we came in for the ceremony?" I asked, as the dark stone walls struck me as familiar.
"Yes, let us follow the breeze," Mech said,
as he continued to hold his curly hair aloft and began walking in the direction the breeze was coming from. When the hair suddenly changed direction, we both knew we had to be close to whatever crack in the wall was causing the draft. The Ramlord dropped the hair, and it floated to the ground as he walked closer to the wall with his hands outstretched to feel for the faint wind whistling somewhere nearby. "I think it's coming from over here," I said, as I tilted my head in order to hear the whistling. Sure enough, there was a gap barely a millimeter thick in the dense rock wall that the air was whispering through.
"Excellent, Alex,"
Mech praised as he ran his fingers over the crack. "Now, how do we open it?" I asked. And I looked all over for some sort of discreet lever or pressure pad to unlock the passage.
"I'm not sure, but if it is locked with magic, which I'm sure it is, then this might do the trick," he said before he took a breath,
and then the atmosphere made the hair stand up on my arms as it heralded the summoning of the Asher Lord's commanding voice.
"Open!"
Nothing happened at first. But before I could say anything, he put a finger up to his lips. The whistling was gone, and in its place was a slight hissing noise from the falling dust as the wall vibrated. Then, with a deep grinding sound, the panel of stone in front of us rose upward to reveal a huge chamber that immediately lit up with glowstones when we walked inside. "Mercedes B," I breathed, as I took in the rows of large glass capsules lining the walls. All of them were smashed in the middle as if whatever was being kept inside had broken free, and a dried, tacky substance coated the floor and stuck to the soles of our boots.
"Vane certainly was busy,"
Mech said as he walked around the huge space, and he came to a stop at the creepy surgical-like table where the large splatters of blood had dried and streaked the floor black.
"This seems to be the problem."
"The blood?" I asked, and followed the Ramlord's finger as he pointed toward the drain in the stone floor.
"If enough of it was spilled, it might have contaminated the springs," he said, as he reached around and retrieved a crystal vial of something from his armored belt.
When he saw me watching him, he smirked.
"The benefits of having an order, deaconess, for a wife. This is blessed ocean water, the purest of the pure."
I nodded as I watched him empty the contents of the vial down the stone drain. Instantly, the drain gurgled and burped, and a sudden puddle of dark green bubbled to the surface.
"Whoa!"
I jumped back, just as Mech danced away as well, and we continued to move away from the growing pool of liquid. Luckily, the toxic sludge stopped before we ran out of room to back away, and the hazardous waste eventually started to drain again. In the wake of the retreating ooze, several glinting metal pieces were left behind, and they shone against the dark, wet floor.
"It looks as if Gela was in a hurry to dispose of the evidence of his use of the alloy," the Ramlord said, and he prodded a few shards with the toe of his boot.
"I still don't know exactly what this metal stuff does other than attract demons and apparently turn ordinary creatures into demonic minions," I said, as I examined the shiny debris.
"I'm sure Ambassador Siskern will fill you in more as he plans the trip you two are planning on taking back to Terre,"
Mech said with a grin, as he carefully scooped a small metal piece into the now empty glass vial.
"Here, you can give this to him when you see him next."
"You know I just said that to him to get him to relax, right?" I took the corked glass tube and tucked it away. "Besides, he probably won't even remember once he's no longer strung out from his fever."
"I wouldn't be so hasty to dismiss such an invitation," he said,
as we both decided to get out of the stinking laboratory and head back for the large space full of heated springs.
"After all, Siskern greeted you with the talk, which is a symbol of great respect and trust among Terrans of high nobility."
"You mean that bow thing?" I asked when I recalled the way Siskern dipped his head toward each of my shoulders. Then the rest of the Ramlord's words caught up with me. Wait, nobility?
"The ambassador is the younger brother to Terre's Regent Asher Siskorn,"
he revealed as he glanced at me over his broad shoulder.
"Because of how Terran's eyes are positioned more to the sides of their elongated heads, trusting someone enough to momentarily block the path of their vision is a huge gesture indeed, especially because this was the favored method of most assassinations of high-ranked Ashers before Terre split into two factions."
"So if Siskern's brother is just a regent, then who is the Asher Lord?" I asked, as we made it back out into the corridor.
"Their father, who has been ailing for quite some time," he answered. "Regent Siskorn has been commanding Terre for over 10 seasons while his younger brother has taken on the role of the select few lucky enough to be ambassadors. Terrans are a suspicious race by nature. They have some very strong cultural customs, and almost never allow outsiders access to their lands."
"All the more reason it sounds like I should not go," I said, even though the prospect of traveling to other islands was a little intriguing. A lot intriguing.
"It is your right to refuse if you so wish,"
Mech said as we found our way back to the main chamber. The pools were still bubbling, but they looked like harmless jacuzzi tubs instead of vats ready to boil my bones white.
"However, everyone, including the Terran councilman and his two wives, witnessed the prowess you displayed by holding up your shield the longest during the tithing ceremony."
"And that means what exactly?" I questioned, as a familiar feeling bloomed within me like every other time Gavlane was going to be deliberately vague or obtuse with information.
"The Terrans value strength above all else, so the invitation would be well met."
He grinned innocently, but I narrowed a glare at him. "Why do I feel like you're being cryptic about this?" I asked. "You're always cryptic and vague, and you keep promising me answers, but..."
I know,
Mech chuckled, and placated me with a gesture of his big hand.
"You are overdue for an explanation for a lot of things, but the former estate of Gela Vane and his army of minion spies is not the place."
Then the Ramlord glanced around the creepy underground corridors we were traversing in a the-walls-have-ears type of way, and I cast my eyes to the ceiling as the prickly feeling of possibly being monitored itched down my spine. Even if we really did kill all of Vane's spies, who was to say the buck stopped there? "I suppose you get a pass, but only this time," I grumbled. "Only because Horace and I recently came across another minion creature hidden in the walls of this place."
"Oh?"
the Ramlord queried, as we continued to climb the crazy staircase that led us out of the thermal caves. "Yeah, at first I was hoping it was guarding the other half of that, thing you gave me," I hedged. "Still no luck on that, by the way."
"Damn,"
he muttered.
"What was the creature guarding instead?"
"This weird pedestal thing that looks like a giant electrode," I said.
"What is a lectode?"
Mech asked.
"Some sort of animal?"
No, an electrode is something where... how can I put this? I frowned for a moment. It's something a source of power can flow through, sort of. Man, it was hard to try to describe what little I knew about electricity to a person who had no concept of it.
And I am assuming the power source is what the creature was guarding, he mused.
Probably, but it wasn't there, whatever it is, I said as we mounted the last staircase. Do you know of anything that acts like a power source? How do glowstones work?
Omite stones have their own internal power source, but it takes very large ones to actually be considered capable of powering things other than themselves, the Ramlord answered. Was this electrode big?
Not really, I replied. I mean, whatever the power source is, I could easily carry it in my hands. So that doesn't sound like what you describe.
Definitely not, he snorted. The omite stones that generate power are often as large as houses. What you describe is intriguing, and I will look into the matter.
Do you think it could be related to the weird alloy thing? I asked, as we finally entered the main hall of the manor.
Anything is possible, the Ramlord said, and shook his horned head. It wouldn't be prudent to overlook the connection. You did well, my friend.
Thanks, I grinned as he clasped me on the shoulder, but then my smile dropped when his noble face took on a serious expression.
I did not like seeing you like that. A hair's breadth from death, he said,
and I suddenly felt like shifting my feet under his weighted gaze. I didn't know you saw that, I faltered. But I'm okay, I promise.
Make sure you remain that way, he intoned,
and then he did something that took me completely off guard. He pulled me in and gave me a brief hug, and then he leaned back with his normal, jovial smile in place.
I had already thought Siskern was doomed, and then I arrived only to see you next to the fountain. I am glad I have been blessed to keep both of my friends.
I was initially shocked with the gesture, but given who Gavlane was, a bunny rabbit under that lion's roar, it made perfect sense. So I took it for the deep respect it was and saluted with a fist over my heart. I consider you a good friend too, Gavlane, I said with a matching smile. And if you really think I should go to Terror, then I'll consider it.
That's all I ask, he chuckled.
A muted trumpeting noise sounded, and both Gavlane and I rolled our eyes at the pseudo-doorbell Gela had managed to rig. None of us could figure out how to shut it off. Similar to the gates around Ithaca, the gates around the manor detected people coming and going, and somehow the deranged Owlman managed to implant this ostentatious fanfare every time someone crossed the threshold. So far, the only benefit it had was it was apparently keyed to me now that I'd absorbed his rank and assets, which meant the gates only let in people I trusted. But still, it was fucking annoying, and it went on forever.
It appears you have some guests,
Gavlane said, after the obnoxious trumpets finally stopped. I better go see who's out in the stables, I nodded.
I'm going to drop in on the old snake one more time, but then I must attend to the citizens of Gate Town and of the treachery of its latest magistrate, the Ramlord said with a weary sigh. It appears as if the man was hoarding tithe stones from his people in order to keep experimenting with his minions. He also has an unprecedented access to demon essence in vaults and caches all over the city, which has just been a joy to deal with, let me tell you.
The essence is the dust the dead demons leave behind, right? I queried.
Yes.
Gavlane grimaced, as if he just drank a Diet Coke.
It is highly illegal to combine with alchemy.
But there's so much of it lying around after a red sky, I said. How are people not running amok and using it like Gela?
Because exposure to it makes you crazy, as Vane so aptly demonstrated, he said as we walked out to the front of the manor. It is disposed of by the traders. They are somehow immune to the effects of essence and use it to fortify their wandering atolls so the tide beasts in the ocean dismiss or ignore them. The council has a mutually beneficial accord with them, so that means they get our brandies, nectars, women, and natural beast repellent, and we get access to their trained concubines and free essence removal.
Somehow your tone gives me the impression you don't think this is as great as it's been made out to be, I observed, and cocked my head at him as we descended the long stairs.
It's this mutual accord that also makes it so the traders are outside of Ashalor.
The Ramlord scowled, and slowed to a stop once he and I reached the bottom of the stairs. Then he was silent for a moment, and he fixed his bronze gaze over the sprawling metropolis of Gatetown, as if far away in thought.
My second wife, Brita, came to me from the traders.
At an auction? I ventured, and sensed this was something Marty McFly would deem heavy.
I come from a family of traditionalists who prefer to acquire their wives through the duelist rite, or through beneficial alliances. So before Brita there were no concubines who warmed my bed. And there has not been since, he said in a distant and melancholy voice that had me transfixed. I was at an auction with Sharkane, who was not yet a councilman at the time. He had a particular taste for concubines and wanted to celebrate his most recent successful duel, so I came to an auction with him. I had been to the auctions before, of course, but it wasn't until I saw Brita that I ever bothered to bid.
What changed your mind about her? I asked.
Natavian women are quite expressive and vibrant,
Gavlane said with a slow smile, as if the frost of the past was thawing slightly.
I'm sure you have noticed this with your own Natavian wife, Shalia.
It was true. Where Zoe was inclined to have more of an inner vibrancy, she only shared with those closest to her, Shay was the epitome of a person who wore their heart on their sleeve for all to see. Yeah, I can understand, I grinned back.
Then you must also understand what a shock it would be to see the flame of that life nearly extinguished, and your beloved turned into a mere husk right before your eyes, he stated.
And just picturing Shay's bright eyes dulled to a darker and more desolate shade of green cinched my chest with a pang of sadness. It would be a tragedy, I said honestly.
It was like watching a slow death. And even though I did not honorably acquire this woman, I knew that if she was chosen by someone cruel, she would have been lost.
He sighed and resumed walking to the larger stables.
It is seldom talked about, especially by the women. But it is obvious the way the traders treat their livestock is horrifying, and there is nothing the council can do about it. Or rather, nothing they want to do about it. Regardless, it was the last time I ever went to the auctions.
But I bit my lip in hesitation at first, because I didn't want to assume. The first time I saw you was in the village square, and I was pretty sure you were surrounded by beautiful women I thought were part of your harem.
Ah, yes. Those would have been some of the ladies who were demonstrating their ceremonial dances to me before the Blue Night Gala,
Gavlane chuckled. So you only have two wives, I said, as more and more pieces of the Asher Lord fell into place.
Yes, he nodded. There was a time when I had three, but she sadly perished during childbirth along with the baby.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, I said as I rubbed the back of my neck.
It was a long time ago,
the Ramlord responded, with the wisdom of having experienced firsthand how time heals deep wounds.
And now I have been blessed tenfold. I am content with my life and my loves as they are, at least for the moment.
I'm glad, I said, as we finished traversing the downhill sloping walk that led to the large stables. When we approached, we came upon the whole crew from Ithaca, and there were even some familiar faces from Icarian, like Nevra the Badger Woman and her mousy, big-eared chamber girl, Nuna. They were all being debriefed by Horus, Anwar, and Amaya on Monger Manor Safety 101.
In summary, the entire north wing on the main floor is completely off-limits, but the west wing is cleared for guests,
Horus was saying, as the Asher Lord and I sauntered up. The Falcon Man winked at us, but he continued on without breaking stride despite a lot of the waitstaff, especially from Icarian, ogling the Ramlord.
Be advised, Madam Midgen has a special guest convalescing in one of the west rooms. You will do best to listen to what she says because the majority of you here are to assist her with the patients in the east wing dining hall that has temporarily been converted into a hospital.
Thank you all for coming to help, by the way, I interjected, and made eye contact with the 15 or so people assembled before me. Please let me or Mr. Jenner know if you need anything.
And be alert, always.
Anwar said as she brushed her shining autumn hair back over one shoulder.
This is Monger Manor, and it is still riddled with traps, so if you see any glowing runes, do not touch them, and get Horus on me immediately.
Also, if there is any type of emergency, congregate in the main vault in the lower chamber, I added. Zoe painted signs on the walls leading to the shelter, so pay attention to them wherever you are in the manor to orient yourselves. It's easy to get turned around in there. Just stay out of the off-limits areas, and you all should be fine. There was a collective multitude of nods, which made Horus grin and clap his hands together once.
Excellent! He then swiveled toward Mech and me and nodded a little bow. My lords! All right, friends, this way. Arvid, you too, buddy. We've been needing a good chef around here for days, so how about some stew, big boy?
Food here,
the mild-mannered Slothman droned, as he dragged an Arvid-sized wheelbarrow full of packaged meats, crates of produce and cooking supplies, and a couple sacks of flour for good measure. You're a lifesaver, I said to the gentle giant and patted him on one of his shaggy tree-trunk-like arms as he passed.
Sure,
Arvid said with a slow blink and placid smile.
Lifesaver.
Then he shuffled off to follow the procession into the manor.
Mr. Alex, good to see you,
Bowden said as he adjusted his ever-present painter's cap and pulled the strap of his pack up higher on his back.
Did you get the coli my brother sent?
I did, thank you, both. I smiled and nodded to the shorter of the two raccoon brothers. I know it wasn't easy to build a greenhouse from scratch and fix up the mill so we could have this in time for the festival, but you did great, and the coli tasted awesome.
Well, glad you like it, Mel said in his gravelly voice. We're happy to fill in wherever necessary.
Which won't be hard given how adamant Vela was in her letters about what needs to be done around the place,
Bowden chimed in with a smile that was just a shade lovesick if someone knew what to look for, which I did.
You and Velarala were exchanging letters, huh?
I leered and punched him lightly on his shoulder.
Was it like a please, honey, do this letter?
I bet you can't wait to start fixing up the place for her, putting up shelves and stuff. I knew it was a stupid innuendo that only I would know because of where I came from. So I was surprised when Amaya, who had mostly been in her own world until now, snorted and darted her eyes away when our gazes collided.
Well,
Bowden faltered slightly as he glanced between the blushing Oryx woman and me. He smiled a puzzled smile as if he knew what we were up to, but didn't mind he was in on the joke.
She did, in fact, mention she would be in need of new shelves in the cellar.
And before my brain could even follow up with the quintessential overused joke of the century, Amaya beat me to the punch like a champ.
Cellar? Hardly even know her,
she said in her somewhat accented speech, and then pressed two fingers to her lips as if she just burped in public.
Sorry, I didn't mean to channel you.
It's okay, I said, as I willed my laughter back as hard as I could. But I almost lost the battle when I glanced at Mech's Scooby-Doo, rut-row, raggy expression.
Yes, well, Vela's only been with us for a short time, but I already feel as if I know her quite well,
Bowden chattered, and probably would have gone on had it not been for Mel, who dragged him along by the arm.
All right, you lovesick fool, let's get you in to see your lady,
Mel teased, and steered his brother toward the walkway where everyone else had already gone.
Lords and lady?
Then the two raccoon brothers hurried to catch up with the rest. Hey, where's... I turned around in search for my missing foster son, and the only person left unaccounted for.
He is lightning, Lord Asher,
Rylan mumbled with his eyes downcast as he held out the reins of Gavlane's jet-black canterfly.
Thank you, lad,
the Ramlord said, and the moment he took the reins, Rylan whipped around on his heels and booked it back into the stables. Well, that was strange, I said to no one in particular. But I put that on hold for a second. Sorry about him. I hope he wasn't rude. I have a feeling it has to do with me.
Do not fret.
Mech patted me on the shoulder, and then mounted the black-winged butterfly Pegasus.
It is the struggle of the age. I remember what it was like, and I do not fault him. I will only wish you luck.
Yeah, I sighed, but then grinned when something struck me.
At least he's not a girl, though. Imagine when they get older.
Gavlane chuckled along with me at first, but then his expression dropped into one of drawing horror.
I have a girl,
he whispered as his eyes closed.
I may be doomed.
I will only wish you luck with that one,
I parroted, and patted Lightning's flank.
"Oh, you betray me," the Ramlord said with a mock glare, and then smiled at Amaya when she started to giggle sweetly. "Sister, I wish you well."
"Goodbye, brother,"
she said with a mischievous smirk, and we both watched the Asher Lord launch into the sky on his black mount.
"Sorry about the breadcrumbs thing again,"
the Oryx woman said as she twirled a finger around one of her platinum ringlets.
"When you are near, sometimes you resonate so strongly, I can't help myself."
"That's okay," I said, and drifted closer to her as if pulled by gravity. "I think it's kind of cool."
"Good,"
she whispered, and she tilted her head back as my lips hovered closer. I was just about to close the distance between us when she suddenly winced and rubbed her forehead. "What's wrong?" I asked.
"It's of sorrow and shame,"
she said as her rain-colored eyes flashed the barest hint of silver, and she looked at the stables. I sighed. Rylan, what was I going to do with that kid?